This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The police union and the city have been in negotiations since March. The firefighters union also, they need a new contract, but they're apparently satisfied to let the police union do the heavy lifting on this, and they are on the sidelines. But the city sued both unions last week, looking to invalidate the evergreen clauses in their old contracts. It's a big move in the city's effort to weaken the union's medical coverage, coverage that others have described as generous. The city's new health care budget starts on January 1st, so this needs to be settled by then, or else the city goes into deficit and they will have to make unexpected budget cuts. So are you following these confrontational negotiations? Do you think that one side should give in to the other? What reaction would you have if the police officer started a work slowdown measure? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And you can email us at thesource@tpr.org, tweet us at @tprsource. We're going to start off by talking with former city manager Lou Fox. Welcome to The Source. Welcome back.
Well, thank you. Good afternoon.
So let me ask you, Lou, do you think this is a gamble on the city's part to file this lawsuit to rule that the Evergreen Clause violates the Texas Constitution?
Well, I'm sure that, you know, from a legal perspective, I'm not sure what all the details are in the document that was submitted. But I think it is a case of, you know, just going to court and having the judiciary system assess the legality of that evergreen clause. So that's kind of where we are right now.
So if the courts rule that the evergreen clause is good to go, doesn't violate the Constitution, then the city loses quite a bit of leverage, wouldn't it?
Well, I would think so. But again, I'm sure that they're looking at all the angles to try to get the both sides to the table to finish this up before the end of January. And having gone through those negotiations, I know how difficult it is for both sides to deal with it, you know, because you've got a lot of officers who don't really understand, both fire and police, all of the implications. But, you know, that's just something that continuously happens.
And this could also be an elaborate bluff on the city's part, trying to make the unions sweat. They realize if they lose the Evergreen Clause, then they don't have a whole lot of leverage, and maybe they would get their best deal now before there is a ruling.
That's correct. That would be a part of the strategy, I'm sure. I haven't spoken with anyone about it. All I've done is, you know, read what's been in the news, but I think that would be another strategy.
So what is your take on an evergreen clause like this? Do you see this as a violation of the Texas Constitution? We're a right-to-work state. Does this somehow violate that?
Well, it does in a sense, but from the law allows that there be collective bargaining between fire and police if the voters approve it, which they did way back when in San Antonio, that allowed the fire and police unions to enter into collective bargaining agreements. So that was approved by the people of San Antonio.
So it's really, I don't see a clear path. I mean, it could go either way.
Yes, it could. And, you know, that's something, again, that historically, that seems to be the way things always work. You know, there aren't any clear paths.
Sure, and this could have significance to other municipalities outside of San Antonio. If they also have similar clauses, which I imagine that they do. So this, though, is hardball, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's getting more and more difficult because, you know, the further you get into these negotiations, the more rigid people get. And I think that, looking at it from the fire and police perspective, the fire union's waiting to see what happens with the police. And that's always the way it's been.
And so as we play this really tough game of a chicken or hardball here, you have to wonder after an agreement is reached, if it's going to be satisfactory to both sides. and accomplish what needs to be done, that we're not going to see any cutbacks of service or quality of service?
I don't think there'll be a quality cutback. I think, in listening to the city management's response, they're dedicated to keeping the quality of police service here in San Antonio, which is very good, as well as firefighter and fire response times. They're excellent. And I know people read a lot about, oh, it's slow to get here and there, but we've really done a great job in looking at the numbers of officers and firefighters that we need to accommodate the needs of the citizens of San Antonio. And as you annex and get more extraterrestrial, if you will,
sure,
those are difficult. But, we have all the firefighters or paramedics are all trained. The EMS units, I think, have done a great job. We've done a lot of technology improvements with Chief McManus and the police department with regard to the 800 megahertz trunking system and all of that. So it's been we've got good service. And, I know that it's always this way.
Right.
However long the contract lasts, that's how long confrontation.
So, but the city is saying if agreement is not reached by January 1, that suddenly the city starts going into deficits because they're having to pay under the old health care plan unless they get this evergreen clause tossed out. And they're saying that other cuts will have to be made. So how legitimate is that claim?
Well, I think it is because in looking at what the finance department budget officers have done with Ben Gazelle, they've run numbers, and the health benefits, are costly, and they're I don't know of any company in the world that pays everybody's health insurance, and so that's something that has to be changed in the long run, or we'll have to look at some type of retrenchment, whatever that might be, whether it be buying better equipment or cutting the budget, whatever it takes.
So they're saying this will cut the budget elsewhere in order to shore this up.
That's correct.
So we could see reductions in services elsewhere.
You could, less, it wouldn't affect garbage and sewer and all the utility type services, but, it could be cutbacks in parks. It could be cutbacks in public works. There are a lot of areas that could come back, and then if we have to reduce our reserve and start taking money out of the reserve fund, that affects our bond rating. So
sure,
we have a AAA bond rating,
and you don't want to see that happen.
No, you don't want to see it happen.
All right, Lou Fox, former city manager of San Antonio, helping us figure out what's happening with the budget negotiations and implications between the city, fire, and police. More on this when we come back from the break. This is The Source on KSTX. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. We're talking about the police union contract controversy. Just now, I was speaking with Lou Fox, former city manager. Earlier, I spoke with former city attorney Michael Bernard, who is a member of the city's collective bargaining team.
Well, it has been litigated in some areas. It wasn't anything that was high on our radar scope in the sense that we had previously negotiated contracts, worked agreements, and we were okay. We've gotten sort of pushed into a budget issue now because since the negotiations are still ongoing, we're going to need to be making budget cuts here pretty soon in order to continue to afford the health benefits. So we need a determination as to whether or not this current contract can constitutionally remain in existence for the next 10 years up until 2024. But there's nothing that should stand in the way of the continuing negotiations between the parties.
Right. But do you feel like this is a very strong case that the Evergreen Clause violates the Texas Constitution?
Sure.
So you feel that a court will side with the city and that it would be in the best interest of the police and fire unions to really come to terms with the city as you see the situation?
I think it's in the best interest of the police and for the best interest of the police unions and the fire unions and for the city to come to an agreement.
There have been emails that have been leaked to the press from the city's manager's office saying that there's some discussion about reducing the size of the San Antonio Police Department by more than 100 officers.
That is incorrect. There is no plan to reduce the size of the San Antonio Police Department by any number of officers. That's incorrect.
And so media reports that have put that forth are in error?
I'm not the one to speak to somebody from the budget or from the city manager's office about what the budget cuts are. That's sort of outside of my bailiwick as a lawyer. I know that they're going to be making budget cuts in order to meet the budget, but it is my understanding that nobody's cutting the police force.
So without a contract in place, starting January 1, the new budget kicks in for the city, and without an agreement, then the city would start, racking up red ink?
If budget cuts aren't met, then starting January 1, there would be a budget shortfall, and the city can't do that. We have to maintain a balanced budget, and we'd be short about $1.6 million a month. So we're going to make the cuts that would account for that.
And what does that mean in regards to the police and fire union?
Well, we're going to continue honoring their contract. It doesn't mean anything to them. We just need to keep negotiating.
Well, are you going to keep honoring it until even after you get a court ruling that says the Evergreen Clause violates the Texas Constitution? Would that suddenly mean we've got that contract is no longer valid?
It would mean that the contract, if we get that ruling, it would mean that the existing contract has expired. It expired on September 30th of 2014.
And they
by its own terms. And so we're now in an evergreen period.
And then they would throw out the evergreen, and then they would be operating without a contract and under unknown terms.
They would be both the city and the police department, or the police union, would be operating without a contract, as that contract would have expired.
So the police and fire union says that these outlays are not necessarily expenses, that they will not actually draw down the city budget, and so that they can continue to operate past January 1 without drawing the cities into deficit.
My understanding from the budget department is that's not correct. Because of the way things are in the pipeline, it doesn't work that way. It's just not like there's a brand new starting position on January 1. My understanding from the budget office is that we start seeing a $1.6 million shortfall from the get-go.
And that was former city attorney Michael Bernard. He is a member of the city's collective bargaining team. We're talking about the negotiations between the police and the city over their union contract. The city wants the police union to reduce their health benefits, matching it with the health benefits that non-first responders have with the city, the normal city employees. The city of the firefighters and the police union say they will not agree to that. So the city has sued both the firefighters and the police unions, saying they want to challenge the Evergreen Clause to see if whether or not the old contract remains in effect as they move forward in negotiations. How do you feel about the state of these negotiations? Do you think that the city and the firefighters and the police are moving forward towards progress, or are we locked? Is this a loggerhead? And are we the last person who's being considered is a public safety here in San Antonio? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Let's get a caller on the air. Robert has called in. Robert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I just have a general comment and a question. I don't understand why a particular class of citizens or non-citizens who happen to be public employees should have such extremely excellent benefits in the form of wages, health care, pensions, and vacation time, when most of the citizens and non-citizens who pay taxes will never achieve those kind of benefits. What we're actually doing is creating what the Russians used to call a nomenklatura, which is a communist party of superior people, or the equivalent thereby.
Okay. Robert, thank you for your call. Appreciate your comments. And we got now joined by Ron DeLord. Now, he is a Georgetown attorney. He represents the police union. He's pretty much known as the guy in Texas to negotiate law enforcement contracts. Mr. DeLord, welcome back to The Source.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate the kind words.
So you heard Robert's comments. He doesn't see the logic behind the support and the resources that are given to our first responders. Can you react to that?
Well, everybody in the United States through the 50s, 60s, 70s pretty much had pensions, good quality health care, and those dynamics changed as the union membership dropped, the large industrial plants went overseas. But the public sector, which in the long, in the years had the lower wages but took their money and benefits. And today it stands out. But the truth is that it's in line with all the other major cities throughout the United States. San Antonio police are paid and compensated comparable to other police departments in our state and nation. And we often overlook that we give the military, for their sacrifice and service, a pension, free health care for life, veterans benefits, and the government, almost since the beginning of the United States, has recognized the sacrifice and the risk and the training and skills needed for quality police and fire. And we've tried in this bargaining to accomplish sustainable health care, sustainable benefits that are the taxpayers will support. And so, I can get into that whenever you have the time, but we set all kinds of classes of people aside in our society and pay them and reward them for their risk. This is not unusual in the United States.
So let me ask you about this evergreen clause and this challenge that the city has to it. Where do you see that going?
Well, I think we'll prevail on the merits. I think that the city hired two outside lawyers who brought with them a reputation of picking fights and putting it in the courthouse. The evergreen clause has been in this contract since about 1977 or 78. In 2002, the city agreed to have a 10-year evergreen. It used to be what's called perpetual. It just rolled over. And this party said, that's not realistic. And then in 2006 and 2009, this city manager, the city attorney at the time, Michael Bernard, agreed to a 10-year evergreen clause. Their lawyers, our lawyers, all agreed. Almost every contract in the state has an evergreen. There are a lot of products and services you buy also have a rollover clause or evergreen. So it's not unusual. It exists throughout the United States, and it's not illegal. This is just a waste of taxpayers' money to try to gain leverage at the bargaining table.
So you see it as a bluff?
Well, it's not a bluff. It's real law.
I know, but they don't think who knows what can happen, but you feel very strongly that you're going to win, and the city probably suspects that, but they want to go to court because they want to see if y'all sweat.
Well, of course. The very first day I took over bargaining in April, both lawyers told me about the evergreen clause and that they could impose. I disagree with both legal positions, but, lawyers can disagree. So that threat has hung over every day of bargaining. We have provided five different health care proposals that would have officers paying premiums, would reduce the cost, and would keep the health care in line with control costs. They have rejected every one of those proposals and then sued us anyway. So I'm not sure what their objective is, except to say you'll do it our way or we'll strip you of bargaining. I think we'll win. I think we'll eventually get a contract that the public will agree with and our officers will agree with. We just can't get it while they're suing us.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Kathy has called in. Hey, Kathy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thanks. My comment is if the city cuts their health care, then they're going to have to pay more out of pocket, which is effectively taking a pay cut. That seems pretty unreasonable.
All right, Kathy, thank you for your call. Do you agree with that, Ron DeLord? I bet you do.
Well, of course. This is what's hard in this. And I know we have very limited time. The city manager is the highest paid public employee probably in the state of Texas and the United States. She makes as much as the president of the United States. She just got a massive pay increase, wants large pay increases for all of her top assistants, many of whom make $200,000 and $300,000 a year. And at the same time, she proposed that fire and police reduce their income by $5,000 per person per year without any economic adjustment to offset it with pay. So, a lot of these things they're saying are not true. The city's not going to lose $1.6 million a month. That's a lie. They've already budgeted for $10,000 per person, knowing that was not enough money. And now they're saying because we intentionally under-budgeted, we're going to run out of money. They're not going to run out of money. In fact, it'll be July before they use the $10,000 up. And then they can adjust by not hiring, reducing, or using reserves, assuming we don't get a contract. So all of these scare tactics, we're going to reduce services, we're going to lay off other workers, that is a flat-out lie. This city manager has lied to the city council. She threatened to lay off 100 police officers if we did not agree to her terms. She said that to my face.
So you think the city is trying to turn public opinion against the unions by saying there will be cutbacks in services starting in January if an agreement is not reached by then?
Yes, and she put out a letter to homeowners, put out a letter to city workers. That is not true. The city has a billion-dollar budget. They intentionally under-budgeted, knowing they owed the money before they had gotten the contract. Then they scream, wow, it's like me having a mortgage of $1,400 a month, but I just budget $1,000. Well, I'm not losing money. I had a duty to pay what I owe until such time.
We're running out of time. Ron DeLord, thank you so much. He's an attorney that represents the police union in their negotiations. The clock is running. We'll see what happens when they get to court to see whether or not the evergreen clause remains in effect. This is The Source on KSTX. When we come back, we're going to speak with James Risen. Stay tuned.